Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Taught me that Styx was one of the greatest American rock bands, and they only got a bad rap because most critics are cynical.
For my collection of Styx albums, I leave that to no one, because that's who appreciated Styx as much as me.
Lorelei, let's live together. Brighter than the stars forever.
Oh my god, Styx! I love Styx!
Yeah, I love Renegade. Hated Babe.
Soon as the screen goes black, you know what time it is.
That song is a landmark staple of how I feel. You come in here and we're in a tough situation, they play that song, that truly is our 12th man.
Renegade strikes again! Renegade strikes again!
I get goosebumps just thinking about it right now, because it's, I don't know, it's awesome.
Show on 670 The Score.
Damn, hit after hit, Mac.
Oh, we're just getting started. Are you kidding me? Wow. Wow, I can see why the Steelers like coming out of the tunnel to Renegade, man. I'm sure he's probably wondering, what the hell's he doing up on the second floor stomping his foot like that? That gets me going.
Sure. I'm going to get you pumped up. And yeah, Renegade, a classic stadium song. And a line from Big Daddy, Adam Sandler. You know, near and dear to my heart, Dan McNeil. So, I mean, that's a big part of these critics, these cynical a-holes. I mean, come on. I always will agree with that.
Yeah, I know you. Are we ready to roll? Can we bring in the guy who founded Styx? The 73 years young Dennis DeYoung, Chicago rock legend, joining us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Dennis, good afternoon, and thank you for the time. How are you feeling today, man?
Well, I got to tell you the truth. You know, a little known fact is the Steelers had to be talked out of doing Babe. That was their first choice.
Really?
Sure it was.
Yeah. That was, you know, they thought that if the other team thought they loved them, their guard would be down.
Uh-huh. Why not just go with Sweet?
You want to hear a story?
Yeah,
please.
Sure. I know we're going to hear a few. Go.
When Tommy brought me that song, it was an acoustic guitar song in three-part harmony like Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
No. I didn't know that. You're kidding. Really? No, Tommy Shaw, of course.
And wow. I tell your audio guy to turn your mic up, Dan. I can barely hear you.
Okay, on it, on it. That's probably on my end. That's, you know, okay, got it.
Okay, there you go. So he brought it to me and was like helplessly hoping. You know how the beginning is all in three-part harmony, nice and soft?
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole song. Tommy never sang that by himself. It was just, the jig is up, the new is up, and acoustic guitars in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, I said, you know, we were on the stage at the Rialto Theater. Just before they were doing renovations, just to do the renovations. We were rehearsing in there. And I said, Tommy, this is a song about a renegade. Don't sound like one. And I said, what would it be like? What would it be like if you sang this by yourself and it was a rock song? And he went to his Les Paul and went dum 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 dum, and John Panazzo and Chuck Panazzo jumped in, and the rock song Renegade was born. You didn't know that, McNeil, did you?
I sure did not. But it leads me to something.
I was busy singing Babe. That young punk who said he liked Renegade didn't like Babe. Get him in here. I'll punch his face.
You know, we experienced to a much lesser, much less dramatic degree, I would guess, what bands go through. And you talk about changing things. My 26-year-old son's a drummer, and I recently witnessed discord among the group. And your band survived it for a long, long time. It happens. It's inevitable. It's a unit of push and pull. To what do you attribute a band's longevity when you can continue to march forward when there are obvious differences about the creative direction of the group?
Yeah, number one, make sure nobody tries to sleep with the drummer's wife. That's bad.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah, that's number one. Danny, here's why bands break up. What's your kid's name?
Jack.
Jack?
Yeah.
Like Daniels? Never
yes.
mind.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Jack, pay attention for God's sake, you young... Listen, drugs and alcohol break up bands. If you're not sleeping with the drummer's wife, that's it. You get three guys into a room, musicians, you'll get four opinions. That's always the way it's been. It's always the way it will be. What goes wrong is generally one of them, two of them, maybe all of them, start using drugs, particularly cocaine, the big lie, and judgment becomes impaired. So the competitive spirit of any band is completely destroyed by the perception of drugs and alcohol, and suddenly they begin to think bad things instead of the right things, which is this with all bands. All boats rise with the tide. You should always be thinking, we're going to disagree, but remember, success for one is success for all. That's what breaks up bands. That's what made Tommy Shaw quit during the Kilroy tour. Mm-hmm. This huge thing that was called Styx, this very successful band, because he had a promotion guy whispering in his ear that he could be a big star all by himself. And the impairment, admittedly, that he's admitted to, the problems with that drug, caused him to jump ship, leaving the four of us, James Young, John and Chuck Panazzo, and myself wondering, what? Mm-hmm. So at that moment in time when Tommy quit, in the middle of the Kilroy tour on the Capitol Center stage, J.Y., Tommy, and J.Y., Chuck, and John, they said, the hell with him, let's replace him. Are you listening? And you know what I said? What? Replace Tommy Shaw on Styx? There seemed a certain lack of self-awareness as to what was making, you know, the locomotive scream down the tracks. Mm-hmm. I said, we should not do that. I said, wait. He wants to let him get a solo album out of his system. Then we can get back here making these great records. Danny McNeil, that's the truth.
Wow, that's good stuff. Dennis DeYoung, founder of Styx, with us on the Score Sports Radio 670. Check out DennisDeYoung.com. He's got a new album out. It is 26 East Volume 1, released this spring. Rather than just rest on the laurels, and I saw Dennis perform in Rosemont 5 years ago, the dude still has it. He continues to make new stuff. What is the motivation at the age of 73 to continue to crank out new material, Dennis?
My mortgage payment.
You could go on tour singing Babe and Renegade and Lady and Lorelei and really not have to worry about that mortgage payment, and you know that.
My house is paid for. I did. That's a good joke, though. It made you laugh.
Yes, look, it did.
That pain in the ass Jim Peterick, you know him, don't you?
Yeah, Ides of March, sure.
Yeah, he kept bugging me. Dennis, the world needs your music. I said, have the world text me. So for 3 years, he bugged me. You know, he's a neighbor of mine. He only lives three blocks away, Danny, which is why I'm in a gated community. Nonetheless, he's a good friend. He convinced me to do it. So we started making this album. You know, we were writing a bunch of songs together. We ended up with 18 or 19 songs, of half of which we wrote together, half of which I wrote by myself. And that's how the whole thing began. I got to thank him. Because the response to the record, you didn't know this, but my album was number 5 on Amazon just a couple days ago. I never saw that coming. And this new single, With All Due Respect, is number 11 on the media-based classic rock chart. So it's been very, very a positive for me, and I thank Jim for doing that. But I didn't really want to do it. You know, I tour 60 shows a year with my band, which, in my opinion, plays the Styx catalog better than any band in the world. And so I didn't need to make any new music because the rock and roll business is kaput. Radio doesn't play it unless it's old music. There's so few stations still playing new rock and roll music. What's the point? Mm-hmm. Danny, I didn't do this, you know, I didn't do this for you to like me. I did this to get on the radio and then for you to like me. So you'd hear me. I know you're going to hear Light Up on the radio and bing, think to yourself, oh, God, those guys, I love those guys. You can't be on the radio. What's the point of this? I want to communicate with people. Doing it on the Internet? Forget it. What a joke. So I'm thinking, what's the point? But Peter convinced me, and I'm glad he did. I kid him about that purple hair, but you don't know this. Pay attention now. This is a very informative interview. He was born with purple hair. And his mother was aghast, so she started dyeing his hair brown, and it wasn't until a few years ago that he thought he'd let it go back to its natural purple. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
This is news.
Well, that's why I'm here, because you certainly can't talk about, you know, how are the White Sox going to do? Everyone's going, oh, no, who cares?
No, we want these rock and roll stories with Dennis DeYoung. You know,
you guys must be sick at this point of making crap up to talk about.
No.
That's why we called you.
That's what I meant, Dad. I can give you new crap. But I'm thinking, how long can we watch the Jordan documentary before we go, okay, we know he's good.
Yeah, breaking news. Michael Jordan, good at basketball.
For God's sakes, get over it. Listen, you know, Chicago fans, okay, the Cubs finally won something. For God's sakes, enough has enough time. Anyway. So we got to keep bringing up the 85 Bears and, you know, the Bulls. And then what do? We got nothing.
Well, Dennis, I want stories like you said. You know, you talk about cocaine and the big lie and it, you know, causing breakups and rifts in the group. Every group. So sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You said 60 shows on the road a year. Like, paint us a picture of what life on the road is like for Styx at the height of your fame.
We were isolated. We had our own plane. We played 4 nights a week for the most part. So we played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly home Sunday, and come out again on Wednesday, right out of the Midway Airport hangar over there on wherever, Cicero and 55th. And it was everything that you would imagine it to be, and still people complained. People are just a pain in the ass. They complain about everything. There we were, you know, our own plane, sold out shows for like 5 tours in a row. And we still bitched and moaned. Anyway, every time you play, there's a full bunch of people who, you know, they wait on every word and thing you say. That didn't make any sense, but that's what it was like. And the truth is, we were at the top of our profession. So when Tommy did walk away in 1983, you can imagine our surprise. Dan, did you know that's how that story went?
I didn't. That's
why. I know
why
you didn't, because what you're too busy thinking about, you know, does the new goalie for the Blackhawks have Jokic?
These are important issues.
Get through that backhand save. He's itching his, you know, his things.
Mm-hmm.
Am I entertaining you, Danny?
You always do. Yes, okay. Uncle Dennett. You know you do. We're shifting gears here just a little bit, if I can. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a joke, but I still pay attention to it. There are two, there are probably more than two, but for me, 60-year-old almost, the most glaring omissions in the Rock and Roll Hall are Wings and Styx. How do you feel about not having been recognized after all of those years and all of the record sales and all of the gross tours that just were incredible?
Unlike the Baseball Hall of Fame and most of the sports, those things are essentially based on statistics. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is taking a different path. For a long while, I thought, well, Jan Wenner, he raised the money to build this thing. He got it going. He can put in who he likes. I don't think Congress gets involved here, do they? Is the Supreme Court and say, oh, great, they put them in there? No, they don't. It's opinionated, subjective, a choice by, for the most part, rock critics. Recently, too many of our peers, far too many, and in my opinion, some of them who don't have the credentials we have are in. So we would like to be in. Why wouldn't we? You know, if they're throwing a big party someplace, Dan, and you're not invited, you could think, I don't even want to go to that party, but I'd like to be invited.
Yeah, but like Steve Miller said 4 years ago, the invitation comes with many caveats, like getting two tickets, and they do so very little for the enshrinees. It's shocking.
Well, it's a racket. They sold the rights to HBO. There's got to be some bucks floating around someplace. I don't know how it all works. That's for accountants. As far as I'm concerned, Styx belongs in there. That's unquestioning. There's no doubt about it. When I see the other people that have gone in, well, if they're in, these guys got to be in. Look, if it was always going to be about Iggy Pop, right? And well, who are some of the other people that are in there? I think even Leonard Cohen, who I think is brilliant, the hell is he doing in there? People are asking me, used to ask me, how come Styx isn't in? I said, well, Donna Summer's got our place.
Wow. Yeah. It's
is the Donna Summer in now that I've used her?
I don't know. I would assume so. You know, most people who made a recording are in. I mean, in all due respect to the Animals, they did a very important protest song many years ago, and that's it. That's it. But how about Wings? Am I correct on Wings? McCartney in with the Beatles, of course. McCartney in as a solo artist. Wings did four albums that were number one in America and are not in. That's hideous.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you and I could... We could go walk down Michigan Avenue naked from the waist down and hold our breath. It's not going to change anything.
That's true.
It's a mystery how they do things over there, but I can't change it. And look, they know we belong in there. That's it. I mean, that's not hubris. That's just a fact. I mean, if people are listening to me, go ahead, Dennis DeYoung, that pompous ass, go bite my shorts. It's simple. Can I give you some credentials? I don't care if you like the music of Styx or not. You don't like it. Listen, you probably don't like the music of a lot of people that are in there. We just had the credentials. We're the only band ever to have four triple platinum albums consecutively in the United States. We had hits in three decades. Three decades. I don't know how many presidents that is. But, you know, we sold out arena tours. Our music is still in the culture. Mr. Roboto is part of the culture. If somebody says domo arigato to you, Dan, I know what you're going to think, aren't you?
Yes.
You are.
Yes. So I'm going to think, what happened to my band? No, Dennis, of course I will finish the lyric.
Yeah, you know the sense. What happened to your band was classic rock and the music you like died the death of a rag doll.
I know.
Gone. Nobody listens to Yes after 1980 or Kansas or ELP, or you name the ones you like. A change came. Dan, you remember? ZZ Top had a synthesizer. She got a leg. Everybody had to change a little bit. Even the famous Steve Miller. Abracadabra. See what I'm saying?
I do. Yes.
Everybody had to. You're a musician. You got to go with the changes. And of all those songs I just mentioned, Mr. Roboto is going to be the most famous.
Yes,
I don't care if Styx fans that loved, like you, loved Equinox. Danny, I loved Equinox. That was my album. Do you know that I wrote, I'm a songwriter on every song on that album except one, J.Y.'s Midnight Ride, one of the best songs he ever wrote. And I sang every song but that one. Of course I love Equinox. I know you like Light Up. I love
Light Up. Light Up. I've been singing it all week. I've been driving my wife crazy.
Yeah? Well, that probably has nothing to do with that song. Anyway, so there you go. The music's got to change to survive, except for AC/DC. These are the geniuses of rock and roll. They've written one song for 30 years, and it's a great one.
Yes, one.
Whatever that song is they write, it's great every time I hear it.
One.
Dennis, I'm wondering what
listen, I love AC/DC, particularly with Bon Scott. But they do, you know, they do the same thing.
Yes. Yes. And do it well. And Bon was my favorite era also. Go ahead, Parkins.
Well, no, I'm always interested whenever we have, you know, classic Chicago comedian, classic Chicago athlete, classic Chicago musician. What influences of Chicago do you attribute in your songwriting or your performing? Like, where do we see Chicago's influence in your music?
Southside guys who tell the truth, not full of pretense. You know, we are no slaves to fashion. We had heart on the sleeves lyrics. You think, look, Danny, you're on my side. You think of Journey, right, or Boston. But Boston's not in. But all the people are Queen. I mean, all the people, Foreigner, all those bands that we were be lumped in with, I love all those bands. They're great. Nobody said the things and discussed the issues that we did, ever. We took on the grand illusion, the illusion that we're facing right now in our lives. Deep inside, we're all the same, or the pieces of eight about the pursuit of money with Blue Collar Man and your famous Renegade song. Or Paradise Theater, you know what I mean? The destruction of America. We talked about that stuff, and we're still successful. That's the thing I'm most proud about, is that we had something to say. And it all came from the values of growing up in the neighborhood with the Panazzos I grew up with. Their father worked at United States Steel, over by you, Dan.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And my father worked at American Tank Company, and my uncles and all the... Everybody carried a lunchbox on my street. Everybody. We took those values into our music, and that's how I think Chicago influenced us. Plus, I never moved from here. I stayed the whole time. I could have lived anywhere. I probably could have furthered my career if I had moved to New York and L.A., but you want to know something? Didn't feel comfortable there. People always ask me why I still live in this city. Seems half the population moved to Hollywood. I just smile at them and say, baby, I like the weather. Maybe it's courage. Maybe it's fear. Hell, all my friends are here. This town is a habit I can't break. The city on the make. The southbound Ryan takes me home.
Love it. I love it. I love it. Dennis DeYoung of Styx for another couple of minutes. Which three bands or artists should I put on my Mount Rushmore of rock and roll when it comes to Chicago's contribution to the classic rock genre? I've got three of my four, you know, I'm struggling with the fourth. I need an expert's opinion on which acts, whether it's a band or an artist, should be on that Mount Rushmore with you guys.
Well, we're up there already? Okay, then I don't have to say that. There's three other bands then, right, because there's four heads up there?
Exactly. I'm looking for the other three.
Okay, is Chicago a classic rock band to you?
Chicago is an obvious one, yes. I have a moment of silence for Terry Kath. Thank you. Chicago was the first band I put up there. Those were the first carvings we did on my Mount Rushmore. So we've got Chicago and Styx. Now I need two more for my mountain.
Oh, dear. I'm drawing a blank on Mount Rushmore. Oh, you just mean in terms of Chicago.
Well, you can extend to Rockford if you'd like. You can extend to Champaign if
I've
you'd
never
like.
Heard of Rockford. Where is that?
Some band that did something in Asia years ago that went crazy. Today they'd say it went viral when Cheap Trick went to Budokan. And there's what else is there? There's also
would argue they're going to say Wilco or Smashing Pumpkins from the 90s and all that stuff. There's Kevin, who's from Oak Lawn, but I think the rest of the band was from Missouri, for God's sake. I don't know. All Chicago bands, that would be, I think all the guys in Wilco are from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. So you would
all the guys in the Pumpkins, I think, you know, you're asking me, do I like that music? You know, I like my music. I like Chicago. Does Ario, the fact that only one of them's from Chicago, is that true?
I think that's the case, yeah. And Kevin was their third vocalist, right? I'm pretty sure he was the third guy through to front the band.
Yeah. I don't consider Ario from Chicago. It's not to denigrate him. I'm thinking Chicago, Muddy Waters. No.
Muddy.
Yeah.
I get Curtis Mayfield thrown at me a lot. I don't know if I can put that in the same genre.
No, it's not in the same genre, now I'm talking like a guy in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I can only think of two. Somebody help me here. What other bands are from Chicago, for God's sake?
Yeah, this is why I asked. I've been struggling with this. We've been wrestling for the right guys, the right bands to put on the mountain for some time. As we get into the break, we want to do something from your new work, Dennis. You want us to go to break with Damn the Dream or All Due Respect. You take your pick, and we'll roll them.
I'm just finishing up the video as we speak. I got off the phone to talk to you. That's how important you are in my life. I'm editing the video with All Due Respect. That track on the media base this week is number 11. It's going to rock your socks off. Do you have the edited version there?
Yes, I have what you sent me the other day.
The version is great, but the real one says the real word. I want to hear With All Due Respect because that rocks. This is Dennis DeYoung displaying how babish he is.
That's awesome. All right, we're on it right now, Dennis. Thank you so much.
All right,
appreciate
you,
the time.
Guys, do me a favor, will you? Yeah. No more long discussions about jock itch. It's aggravating.
You got it.
Thank
Dennis.
You, Dennis.
Bye.
Dennis DeYoung of Styx. Let's roll the new one.
Maybe we should go Damn the Dream, Mac.
Yeah, after he told you, because I didn't know that had something that needed to be assisted as well. I don't want to play anything dirty on the radio. We can't do that. Let's do Damn the Dream then. That's cool with me. Ah, it's fun catching up with Dennis DeYoung of Styx. And yeah, I was on board. Oh man, the 70s, they happened. Styx, Dennis DeYoung, right now on The Score.
All my life I have tried to make sense of this dream I'm chasing, trying to silence the voice telling me I'm not good enough. Be the best you can be. Boy, remember to keep on smiling. Try harder. Someday, son, you'll see. Cause you can do better, I know.
You can do better.
These are the words I was told long ago. But to never give up or give in, man, it's taken.
Runs the soul, it cuts us all in half from whole. Damn the Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for hanging out. This segment brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Want the same internet but more privacy? DuckDuckGo's got you covered. They help millions of people like you get privacy online without any trade-offs. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. Thanks to Dennis DeYoung for the time. You enjoy it, Mac?
I did enjoy that, yeah. He's a guy who likes to have a lot of fun, as you can tell, and I enjoyed learning a few things about the evolution of the band and Tommy Shaw, a very, very talented guitar player, and even during those times near the bottom, Dennis said, man, what are you talking about, lose Tommy? You can't do something like that. He was such a big part. And it felt good to joke a little bit about Mr. Roboto, too, and nobody got upset about it, you know. And he's like, that's fine. I don't need your approval. I kind of like that pushback against my not being on board with one of his most famous songs.
He strikes me as being fairly secure with his place in rock and roll lore and any of the songs that have gained him fame and fortune.
Yes, and thanks to Dennis and his wife of many, many years, Suzanne, for her help and for shooting me that the new album, new stuff from guys who have been doing it since the 70s. Wow.
So I wanted to ask you, you said that you still care about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though it's nonsensical. I just was doing a little bit of reading during the break because someone said on the text line, if you were looking for Chicagoans, Kanye West, while not classic rock, is a rock star. And I knew that there were hip-hop acts that were in Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Run DMC, the Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, NWA, and Tupac. And so I was reading, like, why are rappers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? It says one of the foundation's many functions is to recognize the contributions of those who have had significant impact on the evolution, development, and perpetuation of rock and roll by inducting them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Run DMC and Aerosmith was a huge rock moment, so they belong. Once it went beyond just rock and roll, isn't it basically just the Music Hall of Fame?
It is. It's Springfield, Massachusetts moved to Cleveland because, yeah, it's exactly what it is. The Basketball Hall of Fame is not an NBA Hall of Fame. There are players from the WNBA. There are contributors to the game. It's a Basketball Hall of Fame. That's what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has become. And it's not just hip-hop, it's not just rap. There are reggae musicians in, there are, you know, disco musicians have found their way into the Rock and Roll Hall. And whatever your opinion of Styx might be is irrelevant in the matter based on the numbers. Halls of Fame are supposed to be about numbers, right? Well, their record sales justify the induction, and I think they and Wings are right there neck and neck as two acts who absolutely, there's no debating, should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just you know me in Hall of Fames. It's like, yeah, they're museums and they just charge people for money. So tell the story of the whatever the Hall of Fame is, and I'm not really going to get bent out of shape about it. So I certainly wouldn't get bent out of shape about it. But when if I know a bunch of your songs, you probably deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's yes.
That should be the new threshold. So if I recognize a bunch of Styx songs, they're probably big enough to be in the Hall of Fame.
Said every music expert everywhere. I agree. That yes, you've isolated something that I think is of critical importance here, because you're not exactly, but you know a ton of those. I bet you knew every song Tanny put in the opening highlights package.
Yeah, I did. But if you would have asked me of those songs, you know, if you would have played them yesterday, said, who is this song by? I would have said, I have no idea, but that song's in Billy Madison. That song's in Big Daddy. That song's from the Steelers games. Like, you know what I mean? I would not have said, oh, that's Styx.
Yeah, I got you.
Which is just how my brain works. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I hear you. That was refreshing. That was fun.
He's a crazy
that.
Person. In
yes,
the best,
he is.
In the best way possible.
He is crazy. He's a good kind of crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Have you been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way?
I've never been to the city of Cleveland. We have had this conversation before, and that's all right. You know, sometimes people need a refresher. You had a kid back in December, didn't you? I've never been to Cleveland, and when my travels take me there next, that will be one of the stops. I was very much looking forward to seeing Jim Covert enshrined in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. We were going to do our show there in August, and whether he was he wasn't supposed to be a part of the first enshrinement, he's a part of the second one, but all of the enshrinees will be at both. So we were still going to be all systems go on the Hall of Fame broadcast, and I was going to hit Cleveland on the way back from it just to walk through, because I'm sure I could spend at least 4 hours in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and find some things that are interesting and take some pictures and enjoy the experience.
Yeah, I would think you would. I haven't been in Cleveland in a long time other than driving through it on my way to Syracuse. It does surprise me, given how big of a fan you are of rock and roll and how much of a fan you are of driving. Just get on I-90 and go east, and you don't have to turn, and then you like run into the Hall of Fame practically. It's right there off the highway. So, I mean, you could correct this problem. I know you're going west in your RV, but you could correct this problem in one day's time.
Yeah, it's a real simple fix. And especially, too, being such a big White Sox fan, too. How did I never not wind up
You're an okay White Sox fan.
Says the guy who doesn't stop at 35th Street on his drive past him when they're playing Indians.
Yeah, I mentioned rock and roll before the White Sox intentionally. I'm not surprised you didn't go to Gund Arena to see a Cavs game back in the day. So yeah,
Gordon Gund. That's the one thing we didn't hit Craig Elo with last week that I and we'll have him back again, but when Craig Elo joined us to do some Last Dancing on Thursday last week, I didn't hit him with Gordon Gund because, and I wanted to, it was on my hit list because so much of The Last Dance is about ownership and ownership making tough decisions, and I don't know if there has been an NBA, there was an NBA owner, at least when Gordon owned the Cavs, who was more beloved than he was, and a guy who was more generous. Wait, go ahead.
And Dan Gilbert is not the current owner of the Cavs. Like, that has been a, that is a 180 from where they were to where they are now. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. Quicken Loans Arena now, I believe, is the name of the Cavs arena.
Not we call it the arena. Quick.
The Quick.
The Quick.
Yeah. That's what you were going to call it, the franchise that LeBron James built. Completely irrelevant, then he comes there, then they're saved, then he leaves again, and they go back to complete irrelevance.
Relevant, some might say.
That's right. That was where the All-Star game was in 97, one of my favorite sporting events that I've ever attended, when they named the 50 greatest all-time team, me and Big Game Tom. My present for Christmas was, let's go to the NBA All-Star game in Cleveland. It was Unbelievable. Kobe Bryant in the dunk contest. Michael Jordan with a triple-double. Robbed by Glenn Rice for MVP of the game for scoring 20 points.
Met LL Cool J.
In the third quarter. LL Cool J signed an autograph. Bill Murray signed an autograph.
Wow, I got bad news for you. It's actually now it's the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland. So we don't call it the Quick anymore. Unless you're, you know, unless you're down in one of the locals. We still call it the Quick, you know.
Oh, okay, of course. Thank you. Thank you, Tanny. Well,
it's a nice Christmas gift from Big Game Time. But if he really would have been generous, he'd have given you the 7 series.
Oh, yeah, that 7 series long since gone, my friend. But yeah,
did you get to drive the BMW on your way to Richfield?
Never drove it. Never drove it. They downsized the car game significantly by the time I turned 16 years old. But yeah, it was a hell of a thing, man, going to that All-Star game. I will never forget that trip as long as I live. We'll put a bow on this thing next on the Score Station.
If there's a player that needs more than a month, I don't want you anyways. Hey, man, go throw the ball to first base.
Oh, Tom Thayer. Gonna take our jobs, Mac, with these takes, getting them off on the morning show with Mully and Haw.
Yeah, he was sitting in for David today, and boy, did he crank it out there with all kinds of thoughtage on all kinds of baseball topics and the fitness regimen, or lack thereof, potentially, of John Lester and not being ready if he needs more than a month. I don't want him! Off
no interest.
Roster.
Man, so we got, let's see, just to update people heading into the weekend, the Major League Baseball Union did not make a response. There's no counter proposal, so baseball went a week, basically, with no response from the union to the owners. The NBA says they're coming back July 31st, hopefully, and hockey is still, in theory, has a plan, but has no clue really about anything. They don't know when they're starting, where they're playing, or when it's ending.
Yes, and don't think for a second we don't have all of our ducks in a row, or onions in my case, for the Hawks series against the Oilers. We're pacing ourselves. For those of you who might be wondering, where is the Oilers discussion, Mackie? I thought you were Big Chief Mackhawk. You should be talking about this series. We'll get to it. We got plenty of time, like 7-8 weeks, maybe more. Or maybe it never happened, so we would have been wasting our time talking about what kind of season Connor McDavid was having when we last saw the outstanding young Oilers star.
Is that what is you're hearing a lot of? People are sending you Facebook messages?
Everywhere I go. It's like Bernstein going to Mariano's and someone bumping into him and saying, hey, Sage Rosenfels, man, keep it coming.
Same thing. Big Chief Mackhawk needs a preview of this best-of-five series that may or may not happen.
That may not happen, right. Let's just
what a cross to bear for you.
We all got them. You know,
that's true.
We all have them. And fortunately for us, it's really, when you think about it, you can't help but laugh when you think about the stupidity of what would bother somebody like me, or what would someone bother someone like you. And I acknowledge it and I verbalize it whenever I experience myself losing perspective. I have the want to tell somebody, hey, guess what stupid thought just rolled through my gray matter? I'm pissed off because the noise in the neighborhood is going on right now. I got leaf blowers and lawnmowers in every direction, and I'm trying to relax and read a little bit on the back deck. If that is what keeps somebody from having peace, then they don't deserve it to begin with.
Yeah, that is a first world. It might not even be a first world problem. Like that is the highest class of high class problems. But you know, there is lawnmower etiquette, right? I mean, was it like before 7 a.m. or something? Were they being loud? You do to get up early. I've talked to homeowner friends of mine who say that neighbors can be very rude with when they will start up the mowers.
Some of them can, yeah. Now we have a property owners association where we're at, and I don't know what the hours are. I assume anything before 7 a.m. would be verboten, just as it is on Sundays. And some people say, oh, really? You live in a neighborhood where they don't want you to mow your lawn? Yeah, I do. And I don't mind it because, I mean, I don't break the rule. I wouldn't be mad if we didn't have the rule. But after hearing people buzzing through the neighborhood all week with lawn gear, yeah, it's nice to have a day where they're not allowed to do it. But I live right across the street from some other people who aren't in the same association, and I can hear it in their yard. So it doesn't really matter to me anyway.
Hmm. So what's on tap for the weekend other than you said a little cooking? What else you got on, going on?
Yeah, shaving some garlic, gonna melt it in the pan, let it liquefy in the pan just like the guys did in Goodfellas, and make spinach with that. Tomorrow night is gonna be a Patrick night. We got Italian tonight. I had a taste for Italian. It's been a while since I had some good pasta. Sherry just got back from our favorite Italian place with carryout. Over on Indianapolis Boulevard. Ciao Bella, throw them a shout out because they do great stuff, and looking forward to that. Just relaxing, you know, I got to get some yard work done, like I've been saying, and let this back continue to unfurl from foolishly playing 17 holes of golf for my first time out on Wednesday. How about you?
That'll do it.
Going to try to get in 18 tomorrow. Think the back's up for it. Don't have to carry. Carts and foursomes resumed in Illinois. Social distancing measures still in effect, but you can ride in your own cart and get out there. So a little golf, a little social distancing stuff with some siblings on over the weekend on Sunday. And, you know, just hanging out, Mac. I told you, lobsters, and we'll go from there. Lobsters tomorrow night. Lobster again, you know. Someone's got to do it.
Just another weekend.
That's right.
Lobster again.
Someone's got to do it.
Nice catch.
Oh, let's see. We had Paul Charchian on to talk about what's going on in Minneapolis. We appreciate
Solomon Wilcox today as well. Yeah.
That's right. Dennis DeYoung was on the show as well. We appreciate Herb Lawrence for his help through all of the Scorantine shows. Today, Mac, Scorantine number 50. We've done 50 of these suckers.
Yeah, 50 of them. 10 weeks of it. Mike Singletary is the all-time 50 locally, and it cannot be disputed.
I wouldn't.
I guess it could be.
Corey what Barber about thanks?
What about thanks? Ah, love that on Twitter today. Nice job, Danny.
A lot of good 50s. Yeah, yeah. Corey Crawford, thanks. But yeah, probably Mr. Can't Do It, Mike Singletary, gets the prize. Thank you to Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. Have a good weekend, everyone. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week, you know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.